Back on the field once again, I'm Dan Totora along with Robert Drummond from the NFL, CFL, and a Syracuse Orange alum speaking with us every single week on WakeUpCallDT.com. Rob, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, Dan?
Good to have you here, and good to see you again coming off of Christmas.
Yes.
How was the holiday?
It was pretty good. I got a chance to spend time with family and friends, and it's always a good time to just rejoice and be thankful for the things that you accomplished and acquired and were able to do during the year, so it's always a good time.
Anything special that you do for the holidays? Any tradition?
Nothing special. I'm not a traditional type person, but it's just good to be around family and friends.
Well, it's good to have you back here, and obviously we're bearing the snow up here in the north, so it took me a little while to get up here. The snow on my car actually blanketed over. It looked like God was going, we're going to put that car to sleep for a little while. So got out and got here and here to talk with you today, first and foremost about the Pinstripe Bowl. And where Syracuse is at right now, this is a team that battled back. They fought hard in those last few games, especially the last two games. This was not a road team at the beginning of the year. This was not a go up against a non-conference opponent on the road. This was not a team that was good against Big East conference opponents on the road either. And at home, this was a team that had some good moments but also struggled. So we go from the beginning of the season where the only win early on was against Stony Brook, against an FCS team, and what they've done since then. What can you say about Syracuse and how you felt about them at the beginning and how you feel about them now?
I really didn't know what to expect coming to this year from Syracuse. Doug had put his stamp on this program, and it was taking form, but it was not taking form as fast as people want. We remember how last year ended with the six losses after beating a good West Virginia team. But I think this year was more of a growing process, guys feeling themselves out, trying to find out which way they're going to go into the future. And as I said before, after that Louisville game, I think that's what completely turned this team around. Now these guys believe in what they thought could possibly happen. So the possibility now has come a reality, and you see the results of that reality. It's the Syracuse University football team currently, and they're a pretty good team, and they're going to go out there and show you why I think the corner's turned around.
Playing at Yankee Stadium, definitely a benefit in my mind to Syracuse for a lot of different reasons. Recruiting-wise, how important is this for you? Even whether they win, lose, or draw, how important do you think this is for Syracuse?
It's a very important recruiting tool. They were getting some quality recruits, without this bowl game. But going back to a bowl game, being able to show college young kids coming into college that we have a chance of possibly going to the NFL or possibly one day just being able to go out there and play on a Division I high-quality level football team is a good thing. So I think it's very, very good for Syracuse and what they're doing in their recruiting process.
Having that game being in that tri-state area, mm-hmm. where there's a lot of talent coming out of, where they're trying to reach out to a lot of these guys, do you like better that they're in this game than they were maybe in a Carolina game or a Georgia game or something like that?
Yeah, I think playing in front of the hometown Syracuse fans is a good thing for them, because basically New York City is just an extension of Syracuse University, But they'll have the home crowd. The weather will be a factor, but that's something you really don't worry about. You just go out there and just play the game of football. And as I've always said, these guys don't play the game for the fame, the glory, the thing of nature. They play this game because it's something they love to do when they're 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds running up and down a Pop Warner football field. You love to play the game, and those are the ones you really see out there and go and perform well, just perform to the highest level of their capabilities, because honestly it's not about winning or losing, it's about playing the game because you love. Yes, they do take winning and losing seriously and to some effect, but it's about playing the game for the love of it.
And going into this game, West Virginia has come to the Dome before. Mm-hmm. So when the elements are outside, you have to bear them coming into the Dome, but you're not playing in them. Now they're playing against Syracuse in New York, and they're doing this outside. How much of a benefit is this for Syracuse that they're playing in this type of weather?
Oh, it's a huge benefit for Syracuse. We're used to this weather, but then again, you can say the same thing about West Virginia. Syracuse plays in the Dome, so we practice in weather like this, so hopefully the weather won't be a factor, but, when people get cold, I myself don't like cold, but I know when it came time to go out there and play the game of football, don't even worry about the extraneous stimuli. Just go out there and just perform the game you love. So weather can be a factor, but I hope possibly that it's not.
Looking at this game and looking at players that were in the 2010 Pinstripe Bowl, some of them played, some of them didn't, but they were on the roster. Mm-hmm. From 2010 to 2012, 27 different players on the roster currently right now, with obviously your Alec Lemons and Marcus Sales, mm-hmm. Ryan Nassib, Justin Pugh, Zach Chabain. So a lot of the big names were there in 2010. Now they're coming back. How much better have guys like that gotten throughout the last 2 years?
You know, Jimmy, as you go through the classes in college, you know, freshman to sophomore to senior, junior to, you know, they're seasoned now. You know, these are guys who are battle tested. They're veterans of the game. They've been there before. You know, so they can teach the guys who haven't been there before, you know, what it is, what it takes to go out there and play in a bowl game, what it takes to go out there and be successful, what it takes to go out there and just win and represent your university the best way you possibly can. A few things happened to this week where a few of the younger guys, you know, got in a little trouble, you know, and that happened also when I was playing also, you know, but it happens. But, you know, by the grace of God, the entire team didn't get taken away. And I still have the nucleus of players to be able to go out there and lead our Orangemen to victory.
How important is it for this team to be returning so many players, whether they played or not, that experienced the Pinstripe Bowl?
Experience, you cannot replace experience, and that's something that's huge going to Syracuse. The simple fact that they also know that, you know, this is an opponent that, you know, that they really they're used to. You know, they play West Virginia on a daily on a basis, you know, so it's something that Syracuse really has to go out there and approach with the game, because West Virginia is very, very explosive, and Syracuse knows that. So, you know, if they can match them point for point, you know, just go out there and play hard-nosed defense, I think we'll come out victorious.
And talking about some of the guys that have gotten themselves in trouble, Marquise Spruill and also Stephen Renee, they get in trouble. You know, obviously the cops get involved, authorities get involved, and it's stated that Renee's been injured, so Renee is going to be out of this game no matter what. But Marquise Spruill will miss, quote-unquote, a significant amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing how much time that is, in Marone's case, what's the most important thing to do? To make the right decision in a disciplinary action, or is it win at all costs and play Marquise Spruill if the team's losing?
You know, win at all costs, teach that young man nothing going forward in life. And Doug is a person, Doug is a father, Doug is, you know, a mentor, Doug the person I know. You know, it's not about winning at that point, you know, because at some point this young man will leave the University of Syracuse, and the lessons that he learned in his university he will carry through life. If he's learned that you can go out there and do wrong, there's no punishment for it and there's a reward for it, you know, that's what he'll learn going through life, and he'll learn nothing from it, and it will deter him, and it will prevent him from doing something, accomplishing something significant in life. But if you sit there and let him know that I don't care how big this game is, you know what, the emphasis is on you to learn from this, and I will sit you down. I would rather lose this game and not play you than ever play you and win this game, because it's never going to teach you anything. And I respect him and commend him for it.
How do you respond to some people out there? I mean, I've heard on different shows that, you know, you either want the team to win or you want to do the right thing. I believe that both can be done,
mm-hmm.
but some people are saying that, you know, if you want to win, then when it comes to morals, when it comes to values, when it comes to things that count in life in general, if you want this program to win, you have to throw those to the wayside. I disagree with that. Where do you?
Oh, I completely disagree with that. You know, if you commit a crime, you do something wrong, you should be punished for it. You know, you shouldn't be rewarded for it. And by rewarding for it, be like sitting out there playing a football game that allows you to win. I mean, I'm not that type of person. I'm not that type of coach. You know, if I've done something wrong, I need to be punished. Whether it's sitting out a quarter, or two quarter, or three quarters, whatever the team rules is, you know, I mean, I broke the rules, you know, and I should be punished for it. You know, and that's a crazy statement for fans to even say something like that. You know, would you let your own child go out there and do something wrong and then reward him or her for doing something wrong? No, they would not. So they're just saying it because it's their sports team they love. And that's, you know, hogwash to even hear.
Adonis Amin Moore, who's meant a lot to the team in this tank package. And then also, you know, Max Ballou, another guy like a Stephen Renee, doesn't see a lot of time, so he's not really missed on the field. But Adonis Amin Moore is someone that can mean a lot in this game, especially if it's cold, if the elements are out there, and you're going to be running the ball a lot. So with a guy like Adonis Amin Moore not out there on the field, how confident are you in Gully and Smith, knowing that that's what they'll have going forward?
You know what? Gully and Smith had to step up. You know, it's like my senior year at Syracuse. We're going into a bowl game, and Michael Owens got in a little bit of trouble, you know, and ended up not being able to play the bowl game. And we had been in the rotation system the entire year. All it meant with me as a player was I had to step up more, and now I had to fill his role also. And I did. Actually, I ended up winning MVP of that football game. But it's like, you know what, football players can't worry about, you know, the other players and everything. You have to step up when your name is called. And right now, you know, Gully, you know, his name's called also, you know, also. So he really has to go out there and put himself in a position now to be, you know, take care of the load that's been voided.
And Syracuse, with the offensive line that they've had, they have over 2,000 yards on the ground. They've gone more to the ground in the last few games here. They're going over 100 yards in three out of their final six games. They had over 250 yards in each of those games. How important is it for you, being a running back and having played at Syracuse, for them to have these numbers now and to be showing this type of progression in the running game?
I mean, I always say running game is an attitude. I mean, it really sets a flow for the tempo of a game. If you can go out there and run the ball down the team's throat, you know, it's demoralizing. Not only do you eat up the clock, you control the flow and tempo of the game. So running is very, very important. You know, granted, you do have to throw the ball down the field, but running will set up the pass and make the game a lot easier. And that's what Syracuse is doing well right now. The offensive linemen are doing a great job. The tight end is doing a great job blocking also. And, you know, they're an attitude team right now, which is good.
You look at their offense and you look at West Virginia's. West Virginia beats teams more often than not by scoring more points. Yes. It's not about defense. No. Now, they've allowed teams to score over 40 points on them as well, but there's games 70 to 63 that they've been in before. And, it's, you know, this is a team that scored above 60 more than once. When you're playing against a team that's offensively explosive but has little defense, mm-hmm. how does Syracuse compare and contrast to what West Virginia is going to be showing?
You know, Syracuse, in order to win this game, they're going to have to score every opportunity they get. Put points on the board and just try and be stingy on defense. You know, I don't think anyone's really come up and hit West Virginia. No one's physically pushed them around so far this year. And as I said before, they're an attitude team now. So now they have the great opportunity to go out there and flex their attitude going into the ACC next year and show them, you know, what the ACC is going to be getting in the Syracuse University football team. Because basically right now, this is an audition for Syracuse for the ACC teams to know what's coming down there.
Last two seasons before this season, Syracuse went up against West Virginia in West Virginia and in the Dome, beat them both times. Mm-hmm. They found ways to silence Geno Smith. What does that do this third time around that they've been one of those teams that can condense the scoring and can keep Geno Smith down? What does that do for them moving forward?
You know, it gives them a lot of confidence. But the thing is, though, it's always hard to beat a team three times in a row. It's hard to beat a team three, four, five, six, seven times in a row. You know, so West Virginia is going to have some new wrinkles, but Syracuse just has to be relaxed. Be prepared, not go back to the mindset they had coming into the season, and just understand that they have the confidence now. They have the ability now. They have the fight and the understanding of what it takes to play Syracuse University football. And just to keep doing that. Don't worry about West Virginia. They are West Virginia. You know, they are who they are. It's a funny quote, you know. But so just go out there, play the game of football, and do what you're capable of doing, and they'll be fine.
Playing up against a team that scores so many points and has a guy that's on the national, obviously under a national spotlight, this is someone that's looking to be drafted next season in Geno Smith. He has Tavon Austin, who not only runs the ball well, but, I mean, at wide receiver, he's doing his job at wide receiver. He's running the ball well. Mm-hmm. He's involved in kick returns, has their only kick return for a touchdown, only punt return for a touchdown. When you have all that talent, you add in Stedman Bailey as the other receiver on the team, and you see everything that they've been able to do through the air, mm-hmm. how confident are you in Syracuse's secondary with what they've shown as of late?
You know what? Weather's going to play a factor. Weather always plays a factor when you have to throw the ball. You know, so it'll be interesting to see. But, I mean, the defense, I think, has been prepared. You know, great coaches at Syracuse, they've had a long enough time to prepare for a team that they basically know. You know, it's a common opponent. So it's going to be an interesting game, a very, very good game. I tell everybody to tune in and definitely watch.
Now, with this game, no matter what happens for Syracuse, moving forward from this, can you be pleased with this season and pleased what Marone's doing if they come out 7-6 and don't win the bowl?
You know what? Yes, I am. You know, because as I said before, I think the big turnaround was the Louisville game. And just the attitude of the team, the attitude of the players, the body language, you know, the feeling of the city and getting back to a winning program, you know, it's all there. He's primed himself and set himself up to where going into this offseason, it's going to be a monster offseason because now these guys believe, these guys understand, these guys know that with hard work and the leadership of the guys who are moving up now and the guys going out, that it's a new era. It's a new era for SU football.
Prediction for this game, Syracuse and West Virginia. Who wins and what's the score?
So I'd say 20-14 SU.
20-14 Syracuse. So another low-scoring game for West Virginia. And that coming off of, you know, your thoughts on obviously the fact that Syracuse has silenced him twice.
Yes.
So they can figure out a way to do it again. Moving here to the NFL and to what, you know, their postseason. Syracuse is in theirs rapidly right here now in the Pinstripe Bowl before the end of the year. And then after this beginning of 2013, we'll see the playoffs soon enough. Your Philadelphia Eagles not in it, but in the NFC East, a lot of different things can happen. You have the Redskins that currently have the spot, the Cowboys who could have the spot, and the Giants who are on the outside who did have the spot. Mm-hmm. Who's going in to the playoffs?
You know, I mean, everyone would say that I'm biased if I were to say it, but I think it'd be the Redskins, But that's only because I do not like the Cowboys and I do not like the Giants. But honestly, if I have, to look at it as an analyst or somebody sitting back and not putting bias into my decision, I'd really have to say the Redskins, because I say the Redskins right now are the hottest team right now, one of the hottest teams in football right now. With RG3, he just gives them a wrinkle that I think the other teams don't have. I mean, granted, the Cowboys have played in spurts, and they play great between the 20s, but they can't put the ball in the end zone. And they always seem to somehow find a way to lose football games, even when they're doing well. And the Giants, for some reason right now, just seem to have just tanked it. I mean, I don't know if they rested on their laurels, just thought that they could just show up and be that end of the season, you know, a run-pushing team that just basically goes out there and gets into the playoffs. But they're in trouble now. I think they're definitely on the outside looking in. So if I was a gambling man, which I'm not, I definitely would put all my money on the Giants, because I think they're the team right now that's just rolling.
So you put it on the Giants or the Redskins?
The Redskins.
Okay.
Redskins.
And with the Redskins, where they are right now, they're playing the Cowboys.
Yes.
And the deal is, Skins win, they're in. Boys in, they're in.
Yeah.
You know, so whoever wins this game is going, and they're going to be having that number four spot. So you look at this game, and you look at an injured RG3.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Tony Romo and his late season opposite of heroics.
Mm-hmm.
You say Washington in your mind's going in, but when these two face off against each other, what's the game going to look like?
You know what? Who's all the pressure on?
Cowboys.
All the pressure in the world is on the Cowboys. A national stage, you're away from home, you know, you have a rookie quarterback who's coming and set a city on fire, and, you know, like right now the Redskins are flying high. They're so relaxed right now, it's unreal. All the pressure is on, you know, the all-price quarterback, you know, Jerry Jones and his billions, yada, yada, yada. The Cowboys are feeling so much pressure now to win this game that they're not going to be able to go out there and perform to their capabilities. But the Redskins are just going to be able to go out there, be relaxed, and just play free-for-all football. If we lose, nobody expects us to be here anyway. If we win, great, we shock the world, you know. So that's a great, calming, and relaxing attitude to have going into a game. Everyone thinks RG3 is hurt. He was a little bit sore, a little beat up in the last week, but watch. I guarantee when he comes out and his adrenaline gets going, to be on a stage, to be able to beat the team that's supposed to be America's team, that he gets a chance to be on a national stage at home to do it, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be like probably the best game, I should say, of this week. I mean, it's definitely an NFC, you know, East rivalry, and it's the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys on national television to see who goes into the playoff. I mean, it's going to be unreal to watch.
Let's say that Washington loses.
Mm-hmm.
An 8-8 season, not making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a season to remember if that happens?
It's definitely a season to remember, because getting RG3 basically, I mean, affirmed him of basically why it is they went after him and why they got him. And now with him learning the offense and them going through the process of learning what he was learning during the year, and that new, I mean, the pistol formation with the running back and everything, you know, it's like they understand going into the next year, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. They truly, truly are. You know, the Dallas Cowboys have stayed status quo. You know, they've been up and down, up and down, up, you know, like a heart monitor, where the Washington Redskins have gone from the bottom right now and they've gone to the top, and they can only get better, whereas the Cowboys, I think, have basically maxed out the potential of what they can possibly do.
The Cowboys were in this position last season, a little bit different, though. Four games to go. You're playing the Giants twice. You beat them once, you're in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they had to do.
Yes.
They lose both games to the Giants. The Giants go on to win the Super Bowl. Tony Romo, at the end of the season, seems to have the numbers of a strong quarterback.
Yes.
But this team doesn't seem to have the leadership, and a lot of it goes on him because
yes.
of the quarterback position. What happens after this season if they don't make the playoffs? What should happen? Not necessarily what Jerry Jones will do, because we know that whatever we say on this show, he's going to do the opposite,
okay.
most likely,
yeah.
because we think logically. But what should happen if this team can't win this game?
Tony Romo is not the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and I've said that years ago. It's like, you know, it just seems that these guys do not rally around him. So I think in trading him, or they won't release him because there's value in him. So trading him to another team and getting draft picks, or getting another younger quarterback, or somebody who can come in and create an atmosphere around the team that they are winners, because right now they're just a between the 20s football team. Yes, he puts up all these great numbers, but they don't win games. You know, so that's all well and good. We need a quarterback that's going to inspire, you know, like the deep offense, defense, you know, special teams to go out there and be able to win games. You know, Tony Romo is just not the answer for that right now, I think.
Could you see a trade between the Jets and the Cowboys that switch Mark Sanchez with Romo?
I mean, that'd be an interesting trade. I mean, I can't see Tony Romo in New York, though. I mean, that city would eat him alive. It's just like, you know, Tony Romo is one of those guys who basically, if he's not doing well, he just goes into the tank, you know, and it's just like, feels sorry for himself. And you can't be a quarterback in New York feeling sorry for yourself, you know. That's because the media there will eat him up alive. But, I mean, it would be an interesting trade, but I think Mark Trent Sanchez has played his last game as a New York Jet also. Now, that's just the marriage is just not going to last.
Tim Tebow now, the rumors are that he's going to Jacksonville finally, that they had the chance in the draft, they didn't get him. They had an opportunity this season, and they didn't get him. They had another opportunity when the Jets thought about it twice, and maybe even another one after that. Now, the Jets said that they would try out Tebow, never really did, never made any sense, and was a waste of a season for Tim. Now Jacksonville comes back into the equation, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Should Tim Tebow play for the Jaguars, or should Tim Tebow not play at all?
Tim Tebow's a great athlete. Let's get that on the clear first. I mean, Tim Tebow could play tight end, he could play linebacker, he could play a lot of positions. Once Tim Tebow understands that there's too much pressure for him to be that quarterback that he was in college and win all those games, and that he's just an average quarterback at best because of his arm, his arm accuracy, he'll understand it. You know, just play the game. Play the game because you love it. I know you understand that you want to play quarterback, but I can't see him possibly taking a team to the Super Bowl, you know, as a quarterback. He's a great quarterback, you know, up and down the field and running the Wildcat and things of that nature. But that's not what it takes to win a Super Bowl. You look at all the quarterbacks over the past that have won Super Bowls. You know, you either have a stout defense and you're a manageable quarterback, or you have a great arm like a Peyton Manning that just makes the team better. I can't see Tim Tebow making the team better with his arm.
You even look at a guy like Drew Brees, mm-hmm. who wins that Super Bowl against the Colts not by himself, but because the defense for the Saints finally got above average.
Correct.
With that team, I mean, you're looking at a team that, with Doug Marrone there as offense coordinator, mm-hmm. this team was leading in points in 32 teams every season. Or if they weren't, they were in the top three. Mm-hmm. They were putting points on the board, and I said that Drew Brees was a quarterback that could have 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, they still lose the game
mm-hmm.
because of that defense. So the defense came on, and I can definitely agree with you in that respect. So if he goes to Jacksonville, who has all these needs on defense, is it the right move? Is it more of a marketing move? Is it to make your team better? What move would it be for you?
It's more of a marketing move because it's a hometown hero basically coming back home. But it's a marketing move that if they use it wisely, it can work in their favor. You know, it'll get a fan base starting to come back. You know, just bring them along slow, bring them along gradually. You know, they'll start to get a few more players and everything to start coming back wanting to play for the team, you know, playing for Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I mean, it's a PR marketing move and a very, very good move for them. But it's something they have to approach and do correctly, or it will implode in their face.
Going back to the Giants, speaking of something imploding, this is a team that we know for their late season heroics. We know this team to be a team that maybe starts off well, maybe doesn't. Then somewhere in the middle, they're even, and then they come out strong at the end. This team started out strong at the beginning of the season and has faltered. It's the opposite of what they usually are. What, in your mind, happened to the Giants in the fact that they can't be this late surging team?
They got complacent. They were so used to doing it, you know, just turning it on at the end of the season. Then when things weren't going their way, they didn't turn it on. They were like, why isn't it that magic pill we always say? Why isn't it kicking in? You know, it's like they have to understand. It's like, you know, football is a 16-game season. You know, 16, you got to play all 16 games. You know, you can't play a few here and there, and then like, at the end of the season, you just come on strong. You got to play it out. And they didn't do it, and they finally caught up to them.
Looking at the NFC's last playoff spot, Seattle's locked up a spot, and we mm-hmm. talked about how we both felt that they were deserving. The final spot, that number 6 spot, Minnesota has it currently.
Mm-hmm.
They have the tiebreaker over the Chicago Bears. But the Bears now have a chance if Minnesota loses. If both teams win, Minnesota keeps the spot and they're in. Who is more deserving of the spot, number one, and number two, who gets it?
I think just with the year Adrian Peterson's had, him and that team are deserving of the spot. You know, after coming back from where they came back last year, the knee injury he had, and just Minnesota just being a debacle last year, to just turning things around. Where I could also say the same thing about the Bears, but you know, it just seems to me Minnesota's a team that just to watch the heart and drive of someone who had an ACL, MCL, complete knee blowout, just to come back and just do what he did. I'd love to see him going forward in the playoffs and just keep his season going.
Do you believe that Minnesota eventually will have it then?
I eventually believe Minnesota will have it. Yeah, the will of Adrian Peterson will force Minnesota to win the game or go into the playoffs.
21-05 is the number, Eric Dickerson. not too far away is Adrian Peterson. Sometimes you want to rest your guy. Mm-hmm. Other times you let him play. Adrian Peterson, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, do you let him try to make this record?
Adrian Peterson is a warrior. I let him try to make the record, which means that he prepares himself. What did I just say about the Giants? You know, he's a guy who played all 16 games as if like every game was his last one. That's a guy I'll let play as hard and as long as he wants to. It's nothing about resting him. Resting him, it only makes him madder and madder. You know, when he comes next week, when he's ready to play again for another playoff game, he'll be just as ready as this game here. He's a guy you don't have to rest. As I said before, you can always tell what a warrior football player is because they go out there and give 150% every single play, every single game. And that's a guy you have confidence in to be able to go out there and try and break the record.
Even if your team is in a good position, are you for or against sitting your players with the notion that this can make the guys go cold?
I don't believe in sitting players. You know, why would you sit a player? I mean, a player who's a warrior like Adrian Peterson, he works as hard off the field as he does on the field. So I know, like, even if he goes out there and gets beat up, he's going to have himself prepared. He's going to have his body ready for the game coming up. I was the type of player that I don't care if we're five games up and it's winning. I want to play. I want to go out there and play as hard as I can. But, you know, let me worry about preparing and getting myself and my body ready and my mind ready for the game next week. Those are the type of players we always call warriors as players because they'll go out there and give everything, knowing that when next week comes around, they'll be just as ready for that game also. So I have no problem with Adrian Peterson going out there and giving 150% and trying to win this rushing title.
Looking at warriors, one of them's been off the field for a little while, but his team has been there.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis Colts, Chuck Pagano, he's returning, had a treatable form of leukemia, was put into the hospital, and this team has not only fought without him, but have secured a spot in the playoffs for themselves in the wild card, and quite frankly, have pushed the Houston Texans to have to play their best football because of the fact that this AFC South was up for grabs for a while, which nobody thought would happen, including myself. Chuck Pagano's back. Andrew Luck has done a lot of work. These veterans have done a lot of work. Defense, offense, everyone has fought hard for the Colts. What do you think about this team, and what are your thoughts on the fact that they made the playoffs?
You know, it's just good for the Colts. I understand the whole situation with Peyton Manning and how you can't play a player who's possibly going to play another 2 or 3 years that much money where you have a chance to get the future of your team that you could have for another 10, 12, to 13, to 14, 15 years, you know, and Andrew Luck. And it's, for me, it's more of a feeling of I feel good about the Colts and the decision they made, and they're doing well because it showed this, like what they did is the correct choice for them. And I feel good about the Broncos for the choice of what they did because they felt that bringing Peyton Manning in, even releasing someone like Tebow, who's a fan favorite, you know, which was what the best thing for that organization was. So here you have two organizations that did the right thing, that made the right choices, made the right calls. And I'm actually not a Broncos fan, I'm not a Colts fan, but I'm glad for the organizations and I'm glad for the players that they were able to accomplish what it is they set out to do and, you know, and affirm why it is they did what they did.
They're both in the playoffs, showing the resolve of both of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Not only them, Houston is back in the playoffs with a healthy team. They're not going in with their third-string quarterback at this point like they did last season. So Houston's in, you have Denver, you have Indianapolis, and then you look at, obviously, the New England Patriots have found their way back in, the Ravens are in. But then there's this team at the bottom, this number six team, and it's not the Pittsburgh Steelers, which some people might have thought, but it's the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been quiet all season, not spoken about, not referred to much, but yet they're here.
Yes.
Deserving or undeserving?
I think like the Cincinnati Bengals, for what they've been through, any team that had mediocrity like throughout the course of their history of their program, as a program, really that sneaks into the playoffs and gets in, you know, it's a testament of the hard work and what they did in the offseason to prepare themselves to be in that position. You know what? They beat a good Pittsburgh team. You know, they beat the team they needed to beat to get in the position that they are in. You know, my hat's off for them. You know, anytime you make the playoffs, you are deserving.
If we looked at it right now, and let's say everything stayed the same, Minnesota gets in, and Washington or Dallas, let's say Washington stays in, and they stay in too. If everything stayed the same right now, who's going to the Super Bowl?
I mean, I'd like to say Seattle, because up until the San Fran game, I thought San Fran was the most dominant team in football until I saw that Seattle defense and just how that offense just can put points on the board. And like in the way in Pete Carroll's coaching style, whereas if it's a coaching style where if he's up by 30 points, even during the course of a game, and it seems the game can be over, he keeps his foot on the brake. And I'm like, you know, that takes a lot of, you know, a lot of moxie for a coach to actually do that, because people would ridicule him for it. He doesn't care. You know, when you're always nervous for a team that's good and with a coach who doesn't care, because they could blow you out and not care and go on to the next one. And then from it just seems like, for me, out of the AFC, that just Peyton Manning is just having too special of a year. You know, he's got something to prove. You know, after, I mean, like whether it be being released from the Colts, you know, them doing well, now he's even, there's a little bit more air in him, you know, to go into a team with all the, you know, from coming back from all the surgeries and everything. Peyton Manning has something to prove. And with that defense he has a defense around him now. He's able to do the things in offense, but now he has a defense. He can go out there and score points. It's going to be, I'd say, for me, it's going to be a Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl.
Seahawks and Broncos coming from Robert Drummond. Well, we appreciate it, as always. The Pinstripe Bowl will be talking about that result no matter what happens. And we'll also take a look at, once everything is secure in the NFC, that's putting their ballots in late. AFC's waiting here in the NFC saying, hold on a second, we'll see what we have at the end of all this. We'll talk about everything that shakes out in the next week.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.